The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, in the hours and the days after Donald Trump began his assault on the Iranian regime, the rest of the world has been trying to assess what the extent of the response from Iran might be. What are their capabilities? What weapons can and will they use? And how far will this spread and for how long? Well, my next guest has worked for the FBI, the US Department of Homeland Security and the US Defense Intelligence Agency. Javed Ali is Associate Professor of Practice at the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. And you're very welcome to the program. Good morning to you.
Claire, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Let's have a listen, first of all, before we chat to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who told Fox News that he doesn't expect the war to last long.
I hear the people are saying, well, you're going to have an endless war here. You're not going to have an endless war. Now, of course, it's up to the people of Iran in the final count to change the government. But we are creating, America and Israel together, are creating the conditions for them to do so. I said it could be quick and decisive. It may take some time, but it's not going to take years. It's not an endless war. In fact, it's an effort right now to achieve the peace that we all yearn and pray for. And I think together we'll achieve it.
Quick and decisive, they're the words he used, Javed. But you believe that when it comes to Iran, all bets are off and that they may feel now that they have nothing to lose. What makes you think that?
Well, Claire, this is an existential fight for the Iranian regime. And I wrote that in a piece in a platform on The Conversation on Saturday morning. And here we are four days into the campaign. And I think that my judgment, or I'm still standing behind that judgment, that the Islamic Republic, they are facing pressure unlike they have never faced in their almost 50-year history as a government. And now it's a question of how long will they continue to fight and what will that look like? But I don't see any signs right now that they are relenting. The regime is still intact, even with the death of the Supreme Leader and dozens of other senior military commanders and other political figures. So I think the fighting at the level we've seen already, to me, is going to continue for at least the next several days, and it could go longer.
Mm-hmm. But is this what the Americans and the Israelis would have expected and factored into their calculations?
Well, I would have to think there was an inordinate amount of planning and preparation for the campaign before it started, because these things don't happen overnight. And as we all know, there was a significant U.S. military buildup that started early January of this year. So with that buildup, then comes all the other preparations that happen with that. And while the military preparations are going on, there's a lot of work behind the scenes through the U.S. intelligence community. And that's the world that I came from in my government career, where the folks in that world are trying to look at possible scenarios and things that could happen in those scenarios and the likelihood of them happening. And then you present all of that work to the policymakers so they can make a more informed decision. So an assumption on my part is that work happened, but how receptive was the White House or the Pentagon to that kind of intelligence analysis? Obviously impossible for me to know. I'm not in government. Yeah, this, even if the intelligence committee sort of got it right on the nose in terms of best case, worst case, the White House may be thinking, we're going to keep doing this for as long as it takes, even if Iran is dug in and fighting back at a really significant level.
So when we saw the talks being held, which were brokered by the Qataris between the Americans and Iran in the weeks leading up to this weekend, can we say with any certainty that those talks were a ruse?
I'm not sure if they were a ruse, but I do think that they were launched in parallel to the military preparations. And this was a strategy the administration was taking on, that there would be this military buildup and providing President Trump a whole array of options should he choose to initiate a military campaign. And at the same time, see where diplomacy goes. And they had three rounds of talks, as we all know. The last one was in Geneva last Thursday. I don't think it was a ruse, but as I did, because I've been giving so much media commentary even before this weekend, one thing I kept saying is that if the talks aren't productive and if the Iranians do not agree to the three key terms that President Trump had laid out a few weeks ago, that his patience was going to wear thin, and it did. And that was one of the factors why the campaign started on Saturday. Mm-hmm. There was another factor where the Supreme Leader was identified above ground, not at a bunker somewhere. And then there was a separate parallel meeting with the Iranian National Security Council. And that was the start of the campaign. When those two operations happened probably simultaneously, and the Supreme Leader was killed and dozens of other senior Iranian officials, that's probably when the U.S. said, we are going forward now.
Yeah, I mean, we had a conversation earlier in the program with one of our members of the European Parliament, Barry Andrews, who said that international law has been breached here. That's on the American side. But he feels very frustrated with the EU response, that because of the tariff threat, the EU, he believes, is less willing to stand up to Donald Trump and say, we are the ones in Europe who are ultimately going to pay a lot of the price here when it comes to, you know, the cost of our consumer goods going up, movement of people and so on. Do you see that there has been a flagrant disregard for international law and process here?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but what I can tell you is that from the U.S. side, that, and I wrote about this as well in my piece in The Conversation, that my assessment is that the White House lawyers gave President Trump the legal analysis that he could initiate this military campaign under his standing powers as Commander-in-Chief under Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. And with that inherent authority, that he did not even have to go to Congress to seek a congressional authorization to use force, or Congress didn't declare war against Iran. So on the U.S. side, I would have to believe the lawyers think that, you know, this military operation is on the right side of U.S. law. Now, its effect on international law, that's an open question. Again, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Will there be meetings of the Security Council to somehow sanction or censure the United States over this? Maybe, but the U.S. is also part of the Security Council and would veto anything. So I'm not sure. Even if there's an option to do something with respect to international law, that it'll go anywhere because the U.S. is on the Security Council.
Uh-huh. I know President Netanyahu laughed when it was put to him that he was the one who put Donald Trump under pressure to do this at the weekend. I have a message here in front of me from a listener who says that Donald Trump is cornered. His attack on Iran is a cover up for his problems in the United States. And this listener goes on to say Netanyahu controls Trump. What do you say to that theory?
Yeah, I'm not in the White House. I am so far removed from that world that I was in several years ago. I don't know if that's true or not. The U.S. and Iran had been adversaries for 50 years, or almost 50 years, since the beginning of the Islamic Republic. And Iran, through the decades, in partnership with other groups in the region, had been responsible for the death of thousands of Americans. Places like Lebanon with Hezbollah in the 80s, and then with the war in Iraq in 2003 to 2011. So these grievances and hatred for each other had been building up and building up. And so it finally sort of spilled over into this type of conflict. Now, the U.S. and Iran had attacked each other, had attacked each other before, first in January 2020, and then last summer in the aftermath of the strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities. But each time, Iran was very restrained and held back, and there were probably a lot of reasons for that. But here, obviously, the U.S. and Israel are not restrained. I mean, the thousands of strikes that have happened already, the thousands of missions and against hundreds of targets. And the Iranians have completely taken the gloves off. They are lobbing missiles and firing drones at a whole range of targets. And I think that is a deliberate strategy for them to raise the costs, not only to the countries in the region, but to the White House and say, this is what we can do. This regime is still intact, and we are still going to fight. So that's why I think this conflict is going to continue at the level we're seeing for several days.
And I'm interested to get your expertise on that, because we're all trying to assess what the Iranian response might look like in the round and how long it can continue for. Can we see what that looks like at this stage?
Well, we're seeing it right now. I mean, Iran has probably fired in total over 1,000 ballistic missiles, probably similar number of drones. And nobody knows, at least outside Iran, how deep that inventory is. It was part of that capability was destroyed, if not degraded, last summer with Israel's 12-day air campaign. But Clearly, the Iranians were able to replenish some of that inventory and rebuild some of their stockpiles. But now they're using these weapons. And every time, I keep saying this in lots of interviews, but every time you lose it, you lose it. And so that's something the Iranians have to calculate. And every time you use it, you leave a signature of where the weapon was fired from. And those things are all being targeted now. Storage sites, production sites, the launchers themselves. So this is not an infinite resource for Iran. And that inventory is dwindling minute by minute as these weapons get fired. So how long can Iran continue to use these capabilities at the level they're doing? Not as long as the U.S. and Israel can continue this air campaign. I think the quantitative and qualitative advantage still rests with the U.S. and Israel. But again, in the meantime, Iran is trying to impose the highest amount of costs possible. And that, I think, this intensity is what we are going to see for the next several days.
So when Donald Trump says that this will be a 4-week war, give or take, do you think that that is an accurate assessment?
I mean, wars are dynamic, unpredictable, fluid. That might be one scenario that emerges, but it could go on longer. It all depends on the effects that are being delivered against Iran right now, and how the Pentagon feels about that, how the White House feels about that, how the American public feels about that too. If there are more American casualties, that will put pressure on President Trump. If there is more of an impact to the global economy and gas prices rise and commercial shipping to and from the Persian Gulf is impacted, that could be another factor as well. So there's this combination of things happening overseas, but also things happening here inside the United States at the domestic political level.
And Javed, before we let you go, given your background in the FBI, in the Department of Homeland Security, in the DIA, were you shocked, surprised at this news on Saturday, or did you in some way expect it?
No, I mean, I had anticipated this, and I had been talking about this even in the run-up to the attack. So nothing has surprised me so far. This is what I expected the U.S. and now Israel to do, and this is absolutely what I expected Iran to do. So now it's a question of how long will this go at the level we're currently seeing.
Javed, it's great to talk to you. Thank you very much for bringing us your expertise. Javed Ali there is Associate Professor of Practice at the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy in the University of Michigan, and as I said, formerly of the FBI and other state organizations in the United States.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.